Okay, we're on Perikei and Chumash Bamidbar, page 750. This is really a new thing. The Torah basically finished with the counting of the Bnei Yisrael and the counting of the Levium, giving out the jobs of Gershin, Kohos, and Merari. Now the Torah say, now that, as the commentators explain, now that it's done, so to speak, it's all set up, the process. So now the Torah says like this. Edav Hashem Moshe Leimer, Hashem said to Moshe, Tzav is Bnei Yisrael, command the Jews, V'yishalchu min ha-machana, they should send out of the camp, Kol Tzorua V'chol Zov V'chol Tomei L'nefesh. Any person with Tzoras, which is leprosy, anyone has a Zov emission, and anyone who's contaminated by human corpse. In other words, we're going to learn that the three camps, there are three levels of impurity. Some are sent completely out of everybody, out of the three camps, which we'll explain what that is in a second. Some were sent out of the first camp, which everybody was sent out of. Some were sent to the second. Some were sent to the third. Some were sent completely away. It means like this. Rashi explains that they had, when the Jews camped in the desert, there are three camps. The Machanesh is called Machanesh Shechina, with the Divine Presence. That was in the middle where the Mishkan was. That was called Machanesh Shechina. Any impurity was not allowed to be there. Any impurity was not allowed to be there. The next camp was called Machanah Leviyah. Machanah Leviyah was where Moshe Rabbeinu and the Levium camped. They were around the Mishkan. Okay? So the innermost part of the Mishkan, that was called Machanah Shechina. Outside of where the Levium camped, on the four sides, that was called Machanah Leviyah. And the third one was Machanah Yisrael. Okay? Now, Rashi explains what the Pasuk over there says like this. A person with leprosy, he was sent out of all the camps. Because in Torah and Vayikra we learned, Bodod Yeshiv Michutz L'machana, a person with leprosy, he has to sit outside all three camps. Why? So we learned in earlier in Vayikra, because Lashon Hara makes fights between people, causes people to separate from one another. So the Torah punishes him deed for deed. You have to be separated from Klal Yisrael. You have to go outside the three camps completely. From the second camp, Machanah, the Shechina, everybody was out. Now, from the Machanah Leviyah, any person that was a Zov, that means seminal emissions and, you know, the things like that, a person that had emissions, people, they had to go out of Machanah Leviyah. They had to go out of Machanah Leviyah. They had to go to the camp of the Jews.
What problem did they have?
Bodily impurities, like semen coming out, or Zov was actually certain liquids that flowed from the body, similar to semen and all that, that flowed from the body, that would render a person impure. That would also include, by the way, Nida and impurity and all that. They would be sent out of Machanah Leviyah to Machanah Yisrael. Interestingly, Tomei Meis, a dead person that came in contact with a dead body, or for that matter, a dead body itself, was allowed to be in Machanah Leviyah. He was only allowed to leave, he had to leave the Machanah Shechina. Which is interesting, because it's the strictest level of impurity, is a dead body. But the Gemara learns this out from what we read 2 weeks ago. It says in the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu left Egypt, Yosef made the Jews promise that when he leaves Egypt, they're going to take his bones out of Egypt together with them, right? And the Medrash says not only Yosef, but all the brothers actually wanted that their bones should be taken out. So it says in the Chumash, at the beginning of Bashalach, Vayikach Moshe, es atzmos Yosef imoy. Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him. That means the bones of Yosef were with Moshe. Where was Moshe? In Machanah Leviyah. Right? He was with the Leviyah. Which means that even a dead body is allowed to be in Machanah Leviyah. Okay? a Zav had to be out of Machna Shechina and Machna Levia into Machna Yisrael. A Mitzrayim, a leper, out of all the three camps.
Who lived in Machna Shechina?
Was the Mishkan.
Nobody lived there.
Right. But that was Shechina camp. But it's interesting, because the Medrash says, the Mamluris brings it down also, but he says like this, here, V'chein, k'shenichnesu Eretz Yisrael, these three camps, not only applied in the Midbar, but even when the Jews built the Beis HaMikdash. For instance, there is from Shar Yerushalayim, from the gate of the city of Yerushalayim, until Har HaBayis, was called Machne Yisrael. From Har HaBayis until the gate of the Azara was called Machne Levia. From the Shar Azara inside was called Machne Shechina. Okay? So basically like this. From Yerushalayim, to use practical language today, from Yerushalayim's gate until the Kotel, which is the wall around the mountain, not the wall, the wall around the mountain, that was called Machne Yisrael. From the Kotel until the gate of the actual Azara, meaning until the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, that was Machne Levia. From the Beis HaMikdash in, that's called Machne Shechina. Okay, this is the three camps that existed in the Mishkan. It was the Mishkan, Machne Levia, and then the rest of the Jewish camps. Okay? So the Torah says like this. I'm going to learn these three psukim. There's a very beautiful Klei Yaakov here that explains this thing very beautifully. Okay, so Savas Bnei Yisrael, V'yishalchum min ha-machan, they should send away from the camp. Called Tzaruah v'cholzav, any person with leprosy. But again, he was outmost of all three camps. Zav was out of Machne Levia to Machne Yisrael. And Chol Tamei Lenefesh was only out of Machne Shechina. But he was by the Leviim. Mizoch ad nekeva tishalechu, whether it's male or female, doesn't matter what impurity it is. Chutz l'machane tishalchum, you should send them outside the camp. V'lo yitamu es machaneim, that they shouldn't impurify the camps, asher ani sheichen b'seicham, that I'm resting. So Hashem said, listen, I'm in the camps, there's a certain level of Kedusha, Tumah is the opposite of Kedusha, so therefore in the place of Kedusha, I don't want any of these impurities. V'yasu kem b'nei Yisrael, the Jews did it, v'yishalcho eisam m'mechutz l'machan, that they sent them outside of the camp. Kashadiba Hashem al-Meshe, like Hashem told Meshe, kein osu b'nei Yisrael. So the Klei Yaakov says it'll be a very beautiful concept. He says like this. The Medrash says like this. V'yishalchum min ha-machane kol tzerua, any leper. He says like this. These three impurities, okay, leprosy, bodily impurities, and impurity of dead body, correspond with the three cardinal sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder. And that's why Hashem says, these are the cardinal sins, you have to be sent out of the camp. What it explains like this. He says, Tzaruah, the Medrash, and he's going to explain what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, leprosy is idol worshipping. Zav, the bodily impurity, that's adultery. Tamei lanefesh, impurity of the soul, that's murder. Okay, and he says why. He says like this. This parsha, by the way, Rashi says, this parsha about sending everybody out of the camps was said on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The same day that Nadav and Avihu died, the same day that the Shekhinah came down, that we learned about in Parsha Shmini. So Rashi said it there, and Rashi says it there again. Eight halachas of Torah were given that day. Eight parshas, and this is one of them. And he says like this. After they established the Mishkan, and the Shechina came down, Hashem said, I want the Shechina to stay there. Don't drive him away. Like the Pasuk says, don't impurify the camp that I'm in the midst of. Because if there's Tumah, Hashem says, I cannot rest amongst impurity. So get rid of it. So he says like this. What causes the destruction of the temple? The three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. That's what causes God to leave. So he says like this. By the eagle, by the golden calf, is likened, which was Avodah Zarah. The Torah uses the word that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the nation Kifero Aaron. They were like completely nuts, crazy, okay, wild. So you see, by idol worshipping, the Torah uses the word Perua. And by leprosy, the Torah also uses the word Perua. Gadol Pera Sareshe. Okay? So you see that leprosy is considered like idol worshipping. And then he says, Gilui Arayos, okay, that's the sin of the impurity of bodily impurities. Bodily impurities become covered with sexual things and so on and so forth. And he says, the concept of death, okay, the impurity of death, that's the concept of murder. And he says like this, he says a very beautiful word. He says like this, the word Tamei, Tes, Mem, Aleph, yeah, the word Tav, Tes, Mem, Aleph, refers to these three sins. And he says like this, Tes refers to murder. Why does the letter Tes refer to murder? Because a baby is born after 9 months. So when you destroy a person, you're destroying a person that was born after 9 months. And that's why he says an interesting thing. In the cities of refuge, the Torah says the number 9. Because the Torah says there are 6 cities of refuge. And then the Torah says, Ki yarchev Hashem alakecha es gvulcha. When God will broaden your boundaries, He's going to make another 3 cities of refuge, which is altogether 9. Right? 6 until Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be another 3, which is 9. Why were the cities of refuge? Because somebody killed somebody accidentally. And who did they kill? Somebody born to 9 months. So the letter Tes refers to murder. Mem, he says, refers to adultery. Okay, why? Because he says the Mabul was there for 40 days. Because it says, because they created a lot of mamzerim, and 40 days from conception is when the fetus becomes formed. So it's the letter Mem. And Aleph, which means 1, is when you go against Hashem Echad, that's the concept of idol worshipping. So he says like this, these 3 impurities that the Torah is mentioning, leprosy represents idol worshipping, Zav represents adultery, and Tamei Lenefesh refers to murder. So these 3 sins cause the person to be thrown out of the camp because they cause God to leave. So Shem says, anything that's going to cause me to leave the holiness of the Shekhinah in the Mishkan, I don't want to have next to me, so get rid of them. And that's what the Kli Yakar explains, that these 3 refer to this, these 3 sins of why Hashem says to get rid of them. Yeah. Until the leprosy was over and they became pure.
Yeah, but the first group.
Also, when they finished the impurity, they came back. Azav would be tummy for 7 days. I mean,
15 days.
Zava, G'day, L'Ktana. Sometimes there's 1 day, 1 time 7 days. They have to go to Mikvah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just by going to the Mikvah, they wouldn't make food.
No, I had to wait X amount of days. Yeah. Even by a Zava, the female Zava, it's 1 day. If she sees 1 day, she goes to the mikveh and waits a day, 2 days, 2 days, 3 days, already have to wait 7 days. But these impurities are until excuse me, until they actually finish the whole concept of impurity, and then they're able to go back. And that's why they say, that's the connection to this. He says, just like the Levim were told, you know, you had to watch that nobody comes close to the Mishkan, right? That was the job of the Levim. So Hashem said, I don't want any people who are impure to come into any of these camps whatsoever. So all the impure people were sent out. Okay. Now it starts like this. Hashem spoke to Moshe. What did Hashem say to Moshe? A new din. David al B'nai Yisrael, speak to the Yidden and say like this. Isha, Isha, man or a woman. Ki yasu mikol chatei sa'odom, who will sin, any act of sins. What sins are we talking about? Lim al mal b'Hashem, to commit a treachery towards Hashem. V'ashma ha'nefesh ahu, and the soul, the person sinned. In other words, any time a person sins, okay, nefshahi, yeah, you're right, female. Now, Rashi says, this pasuk is referring to somebody who steals, and then denies that they stole it, and swears falsely. That's what this parsha, you know, the parsha doesn't say it yet, in the few psukim the parsha is going to say it. This parsha refers to somebody who stole, okay? And by the way, it doesn't only mean stealing. If you don't give back a loan that you owe, you hold back wages that you need to pay a worker, any of these types of things. If you deny it and you swear falsely, this is what the Torah is going to be speaking about now. But as an introduction to this, the Torah is saying a pasuk, which is a general rule. And this is the commentary saying, this is a source of the whole process of tshuva, is from this pasuk, by the way. The whole process of tshuva is derived from this pasuk. So like this, and b'chlal, the Torah in the opening pasuk says, mikol chatei sa'adam, any sin of a person, okay, limo mal b'Hashem, which is rebelling against Hashem. Now, the pasuk, and here's another interesting thing. The pasuk says you're sinning against God by sinning against man. What are you doing over here? You're denying that you owe the guy money. And you swear falsely. So Hashem says, you should know, whenever you start up with another person, you're actually starting up with me. That's what Hashem says. And therefore he says like this. In the next pasuk, Vizvadu es chatosim esherosu. I'm going to stop here even though it's the middle of the pasuk. You have to confess the sins that you did. Okay? What? Oh. 752. Pasuk Zion. Okay, that's fine with me. Okay. Now, from here the Gemara learns out, what is the tshuva process? Somebody does an aveda. What is tshuva? Tshuva in halacha is two things. Azivas hachet, regret of the sin that you did, and vidui, which is confession. Anytime a person sinned, the Torah says over here, v'izvadu es chatosim asher osu, they need to confess. Okay? Now, anytime a person does any aveda, even if you brought a korban, a sin offering, halacha said, v'izvadu es chatosim asher osu. And therefore, the Mefarshim explained, even though seemingly this thing was already said in Vayikra, we learned this in Parshas Vayikra, the Torah is adding it because of this point over here that says you need to confess, that the Torah didn't say over there. Now, what is this concept of confession? We explained then, and a long time before that, but I think we can say it again. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, V'chatasi negdi somed. My sin is always opposite me. That means, David HaMelech basically says, that there is an entity, there's a mitzias called a chet, a sin. Okay? There is, when a person does an aveda, they actually create a sin, an entity. That entity is composed of body and soul. For instance, a person eats non-kosher food. Okay? So they did an aveda. There is an aveda's existence now. Why? Every sin that we do has two parts. The action part and the enjoyment part. Why is somebody eating chazer? Because they enjoy it. If they didn't enjoy it, they're not going to eat it. Right? So we're talking, and even if they're doing it because they hate it, but they do it to spite, so the enjoyment isn't the spiting. You know, just do it to rebel. Is also enjoyment of what the person is doing.
Maybe they do because they don't know that it's forbidden.
So then it's an accidental sin, but the bottom line is...
And they don't enjoy it. They're not saying they don't necessarily enjoy
it. Okay, but there's a certain... When you eat something, you enjoy it. I mean, you know, normally when you eat something, you enjoy it. Okay? You have somebody even take a sin, a verbal sin, a lashon hara, right? There's the verbal action, and then the enjoyment of speaking lashon hara, right? Like we said many times, you could speak lashon hara, but if it's nameless, it's boring. You say to somebody, you know what somebody did? As long as you don't say a name, it's boring. You say a name, then it becomes exciting. Somebody did that. I mean, who cares? You daily say a name, who is it? You know, then it's enjoyment. So it says in Chazal, you actually create a body of a sin and a soul of a sin. The action of the sin created the body of the sin, and the soul of this, the enjoyment creates the neshama of the sin. So now you have an entity called a sin. So how do you get rid of it? You do tshuva. Right? If you don't do tshuva, Hashem puts you in a hot washing machine called Gehenim, and you get cleaned that way. But if you want to clean it yourself, self-service cleaning, so then you need to do tshuva. But in order to do tshuva, it's understood, you have to undo what you did. Right? How could you undo what you did? So you have to get rid of what you created. So you have to get rid of the body that you created, and you have to get rid of the soul that you created. Therefore, the Rambam says that tshuva really is two parts. There's azivas achet, regretting the sin that I did, and verbal confession. Vidui. Shenemar, and the Rambam quotes this pasuk. How do we know that you need to confess? Because the Torah says, V'izvadu es chatosam asher osu, you need to confess the sin that you did. Why does that take care of this situation? When I regret what I did, that means I feel bad for what I did. Feeling bad takes away the enjoyment of what I did. So therefore, what does feeling bad do? Feeling bad kills the soul. When I confess, chatasi, yashamnu, baganu, alchet, whatever the confession is, that is an action, even though it's verbal, but the Gemara says, akima svasav hava maisa, verbal articulation, verbal speech is considered an action. So when a person verbally confesses, that removes the body of the sin. So you have the feeling bad removes the soul of the sin, and the verbal confession, which is action, removes the body of the sin. Okay? Now, what does it mean, for instance, a person has to charata? He actually makes up his mind, he's not going to do it anymore, and then he says, vidui. Vidui is actually saying, I did this and this sin. So the way Chazal set it up in davening and in Yom Kippur and you know, all that stuff, the Chachamim set up confession. Really, it says like this: says a person supposed to say. The Rambam says, "What is a person supposed to say?" Ana Hashem, Chatasi, Avisi, Pshati, Lefanecha. I rebelled against you, and I did this in the Saveda, and I'm asking forgiveness. That's verbal confession. But the Chazal, in their infinite Ruach HaKodesh, set it up in an Aleph Beis system. So like when you say, Hashamnu Baganu daily, right? It goes by the Aleph Beis. Hashamnu Baganu Gazalnu Dibarnu. It's Mamish the Aleph Beis, every letter of the Aleph Beis. So when we say Hashamnu, Chazal tell us, it means any sin that begins with an Aleph. Bagadnu, any sin that begins with a Beis. Gazalnu, any sin that begins with a Gimel. So therefore the whole, every possible sin is covered by Vidui. If you look at Al Chetz, on Yom Kippur, it's double Aleph Beis. Okay? Al Chetz Shechatan Lefenecha Ba'enes Subaratzin, Al Chetz Shechatan Lefenecha Be'imutzalev, all of this, If you look in the Al Chet, that these new Siddurim have it, I don't know what they have here. But I have Yom Kippur here. Okay. Ba'enis Siburatzin be'imatzalev bivli das bebitis vasayim begilu yarois begoli vasoset. It goes double Aleph Beis Al Chet. Again, it's just double. You know, twice is better than once. Including any possible sin that exists is included in the tshuva. Now, tshuva, by the way, is not only when you transgress a negative commandment. When you don't do a positive commandment, so even though you didn't create an entity, like you don't put on tefillin a day, or you don't light Shabbos candles, whatever I mean, so you didn't create an entity of a sin because you didn't do anything. It's what you didn't do. Right? Nevertheless, the fact that you didn't listen to what Hashem told you to do, granted you didn't actively do it. You passively did it, but you still need to confess because you, bottom line, went against Hashem. Hashem said do it and you didn't. So it's not as bad as Hashem saying don't do it and do it, because that's active sinning. This is passive sin, but you still need to do tshuva even for that. But the tshuva, it says in the Gemara in Yuma, is much easier for a positive mitzvah because you didn't do anything active to create an entity of a sin. So if you don't have an entity of a sin, the tshuva is much easier because you don't have to get rid of something that you created because you didn't create anything. By the way, it says in Midrashim and Gemara, everybody only knows of Gehenim, of fire. It says there's Gehenim Shel Sheleg. For not a snow hell. They don't go skiing there, by the way. It's not a skiing Gehenim. No, it's very interesting. Gehenim, we always speak Gehenim, always fire, 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 fire. Because, like we said, Gehenim is not Lahavdo by the Christians, it's a purgatory, it's a damnation, in Yiddishkeit, Gehenim is a cleansing process, right? So, when you're dirty, you need hot water to clean it, okay? Just in our language. What happens when a person doesn't do a positive mitzvah? It's primarily because of laziness. So when you throw cold water on somebody, they wake up. So that's Gehenim Shel Sheleg. Gehenim Shel Sheleg, it says in Chazal, is for not keeping positive mitzvahs. Gehenim of fire, that's for doing negative commandments. So over there, you're actively doing something. But even then, regardless, you still need, whether it's Lei Saseh, Mitzvah Saseh, that's why even in the Vidui of Yom Kippur, we say, we say al mitzvah saseh, al mitzvah slay saseh, whether there's this and that, any aveda, we're confessing that we didn't do it or we did it, and that's what they need to do. Now, we say chatasi, avisi, Pashaiti. Right? Even if you look in this pasuk, the Torah says like this, Vizvadu es chatosam asher asu veheshiv es asham bereishe. Asham is also sin. Because the vidui also depends on what type of a sin we do. You know, in Shmon Esrei we say, Slach lanu avinu ki chotanu. Right? Forgive us because we sinned. Mechal lanu malkeinu ki pashainu. Because we sinned. Then what's the difference? There's chet, there's avin, and there's pesha. These are three different types of sins. And because there are three different types of sins, Torah says they need three different types of confessions. Normally, chet, it simply is an accidental sin. Okay? Which obviously is the easiest type of a sin because we didn't know it wasn't allowed. Right? We didn't know it wasn't allowed. So it's, I mean, you still, you know, if you don't know something is poison and you drink it, you're still going to get hurt. Just because you didn't know doesn't make it healthy. Okay? But it's still, as far as Hashem is concerned, it's lesser evil because you didn't know. Okay? Chet means accidental sins. Avin is more intentional, but not a rebellious type of sin. Pashainu, pesha, in Hebrew also means, pshia means negligence. That's a more rebellion type of a sin. You know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. As it says in the Apsalochis, you know, you do it anyway to spite. But here there's another interpretation. Chet, if you ask somebody in the street, what type of aveda is chet? They'll tell you an accidental sin. That's what they'll tell you. In Chassidus it explains that chet does not only mean an accidental sin. Chet also means the word lacking. Chet means lacking. There's a pasuk in Malachim that says, David HaMelech says, "V'haya ani ubni Shlomo chatoim kol hayamim." It doesn't mean sinners. It means, the Mefarshim explained over there, means lacking. If this and this happens, then me and my son Shlomo are going to be missing all our days. Chet does not only mean a sin. Chet means if you're lacking what you should be, it is you're doing good, but you're not doing it as well as you should, that's also called a chet. In fact, not too many of you were here Shabbos. Shabbos we were speaking about this concept of Verapa Yerape. We spoke of Sikha Rebbe. Verapa Yerape, about healing, right? But there's two types of illnesses, okay? You can have an illness that's, you're really sick, okay? And then you can have, it says in Sodom like this, the word chole, sick, in Hebrew, chole, equals 49. So it says in Sodom, Chassidus brings it down, but it's brought down from Sodom, that if you're on the 49th level of Kedusha, the Gemara says, 50 levels of understanding godliness was given in the world. Chamishim shari bina nivru ba'olam. 50 levels of bina were created in the world. All of them were given to Moshe, minus one. And the pasuk in Tillim says, batechasreyu ma'at melukim. He was missing a little bit from God. Why? He only reached the 49th level. And it says, the Gemara continues, that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was buried in the mountain called Har Nevo. The Gemara says, Nevo is Nun Bo. The 50th level was in it, meaning when he died, Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 50th level. But in this world, Moshe Rabbeinu received 49 levels. So it says in Sfarim that the word chole equals 49. Which means, He could be on the 49th level of Kedusha. He could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Pasuk says, you're missing a little bit from God, because God is 50th. And you're missing a little bit from God. That is also Chayla. That's also the level of a Chayt. If a person is lacking in a level of Kedusha, that is called the level of Chayt. In a much more refined way. It's not only an accidental sin. You didn't do any sin. You didn't do anything wrong. But you're missing from what you should be. That is called Chayla, that's called Chet. And this explains, like we learned many times, why the Zayar says that Mashiach is going to get tzaddikim to do tshuva. And the opponents of Kabbalah were shocked. How could the Zohar say that tzaddikim have to do tshuva? They don't sin. Tshuva means you sinned. So how are you saying tzaddikim have to do tshuva? That means they sinned. How can you call a tzaddik a sinner? So Chassidus explains that it doesn't mean tshuva for sins. You have to do tshuva even for something lacking. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was on the level of 49, cholem. You have to do tshuva even for that. And Mashiach is going to get the tzaddikim to do tshuva. All of this is part of this pasuk, v'zvadu eschatosim eshaosu. This is all the concept of vidui. Vidui is an intricate part of doing tshuva. And he brings down a very interesting Chavis HaLevavis. Mamle is bringing down a Chavis HaLevavis all about tshuva. And he says, he brings down a beautiful story. He says, a person should always try to do tshuva before you die. It doesn't pick up as do tshuva one day before you die. Okay? So the Mefarshim say, what does that mean? Say, your guy going on the bus, he asks you where the stop is. The guy, you say to him, get off the stop before me. How's he supposed to know when you can't go off, get off the stop before me? It says, so the Mefarshim say that because we don't know when we're going to die, it might be tomorrow. So the Mishnah says, do tshuva today. You know, that's what it says. Every day you have to do tshuva because who knows what's going to be the next day. So he brings down a mashal. He brings down a very beautiful mashal from Chavis HaLevavis about dying without tshuva. And he says like this. There was a king that had officers that he loved them very, very dearly. One time, the officers were very friendly with the king, got this shtus in their head, and they went out at night. And don't forget, the king trusted these guys immensely. They went out in the middle of the night. They opened up the king's treasury. They took out gold and silver and diamonds and pearls and everything, and they left. They pushed the king's friends, broke into the treasury, and stole everything. The next day, the king comes, and he finds the storage house empty. Everything is turmoil. So he called for an investigation. They made an investigation. They found out that these were the guys that took it. But these are the king's friends. Okay? So he says like this. The servant said to the king, you know who stole it? Your best friends. The guys you trusted all your life. They're the ones that stole it. Okay, so the king says, I don't believe you. The king says to the servant, I don't believe you. It can't be that my best friends did this to me. Okay? So a servant said to the king, you know what? Go, you'll see that they have all the stuff. So what did the king do? The king said like this. He says to the servants, I want you to bring all the officers here. I want to see them. Okay? While they went to bring the officers, the king sent a messenger quickly to the officers, and he said to them, listen to me. I know you did it, but I don't want you to be caught doing that you did it. So when you come to me, because I ordered all of you to come, when you're crossing the river, I want all of you to throw the money into the river when nobody's looking. Just get rid of it. Get rid of the goods. Okay? Then when they came to the king, nobody will be able to prove that they stole it. So they did it. But one officer couldn't hold himself back from the temptations. So he didn't get rid of the money. He held it with him, and he came to the king. Obviously, when they searched him, he was caught. Okay? All the others were innocent, and this guy was caught. So the king said to him, this sin that you did now is worse than the stealing. I gave you an opportunity to save yourself. You did something wrong. I gave you an opportunity to save yourself. So at least the intelligent people, they did it. They saved themselves. You fool, what am I supposed to do with you now? I can't do anything. I have to kill you. So the Chavis HaLevav says, this is a mashal of tshuva. Hashem says, the Yidin are Hashem's children, you know, Hashem's precious officers. And then all of a sudden Hashem finds out we stole. We did Averis. So Hashem says, okay, guys. So he says to the prosecutors, bring them. But meanwhile, Hashem tells the Jews, you know what, do tshuva. Get rid of your sins, and you'll come up innocent. That's if you die doing tshuva. What happens if you don't do tshuva and you die? And you come up to heaven, Hashem says, you idiot. I tried saving you. I tried making it good for you, and you blew it. What am I supposed to do now? I have no choice. I have to punish you. So this is the greatness of tshuva.
The wash machine and the dryer.
Huh?
The wash machine and the dryer.
The hot washing machine and the dryer.
It's Clorox in there.
So if the guy doesn't know, Rabbi, this is a sin, the body and soul still gets created?
Yeah.
It does.
I mean, I told you, if somebody drinks poison and they think it's health drink, it's still poison. It's still poison. I told you, I was once in somebody's house. He had something that had a hashgacha, but it wasn't good. So I tell to the guy, you shouldn't be eating this. It's not good. So the guy says, ach, it has a hashgacha. He's going to burn, not me. Because he says it's kosher. He says he's going to burn. So I said to him, if somebody says to you, poison is a health drink, and they put a label on the poison, is a health. You buy it in the health store, and you drink it, who's going to die? The guy that put the sticker on, or you? Yeah, you have to understand, the person is going to... But there's a beautiful Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, we mentioned this a few times, such a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says that a person sins, and doesn't do tshuva. So they come up after 120 years to Beis Din Shemayla. And Hashem says, hey, you know, you sinned. Yeah. So the body says, me? What do you mean I sinned? I'm a dead hunk of meat. I didn't sin. I'm dead meat. The soul, that gives the life. The soul, what do you want from me? Go to punish the soul? Hashem comes to the soul. The soul says, me? I sinned? The body sinned. Who ate? Who talked? Who did? Me? What do you want from me? Yeah? So this, that good lawyers. So the Gemara gives a marshal. Gemara says, there was a king that had a beautiful orchard, stunning orchard. And he couldn't hire guards because the guards would eat up all the fruit. There's no way. I mean, you know, the guard needs a guard. So what did the king do? The king hired two guards. One was blind and one was crippled. The blind guy can't see the fruits. The crippled guy can't climb the trees to get the fruits. So the king thought, okay, I'm safe. So this went on for a little while, and the crippled guy says to the blind guy, you know what? We're stupid. There's such beautiful fruit here. Okay? I have a plan. Says, I can see, but I can't climb. So I'll stand on your shoulders. Okay? I'll lead you. You'll walk. You'll lead me to the trees. Okay? And then I could see, so I'll pick the fruit and we'll share 50-50. So the Gemara tells him that's what they did. And they ate up all the fruits. The king comes back to the orchard. He sees all the fruits are gone. So the king calls in the guards. He says to the blind guy, hey, what happened to my fruits? Me, I'm blind. Goes to the crippled guy, I'm crippled, what do you want from me? So what did the king do? The king put the blind man on top, the crippled man on top of the blind man and beat them together. And punished them together. So the Gemara says, the neshama says me, the guf says me, Hashem says, okay, you know what? Both of you together and I'll beat you both up. But that's only if the person doesn't do tshuva. If the person does tshuva, clean slate. What's unique about tshuva, by the way, and this is mamish, the kindness of Hashem in doing tshuva. If I hit you once, if I hit you once, and I ask forgiveness, you'll forgive me. If I do it twice, a little harder. I do it 10 times, you're not going to forgive me. Right? That's it. You're going to think, oh, I mean, you keep doing it, why should I forgive you? By Hashem, it's not like that. In davening, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chanun Hamarbe L'Sleach. Marbe means an abundance of forgiveness. Meaning like this. By us, we're people. We're limited. We have limited tolerance and limited patience. You know, once I can handle, twice, okay. But 20, 30 times, there's no way I can handle it. Why? Because my patience is limited. Hashem is so unlimited, His patience is unlimited, and therefore, if you sin once a million times, it doesn't matter. As long as you mean tshuva, you mean it?
Then you do it again.
Yeah, but when you said, yeah, but when you, if you did tshuva, and you meant it.
Yes.
I said this many, many times.
How many Yom Kippur?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Yom Kippur, okay. When you, okay, let's talk about you. You go to Shon Yom Kippur?
I do.
Okay. You daven?
I do.
And Yom Kippur, do you mean it?
I do.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody in the world that really changed after Yom Kippur?
No.
I'm asking you a question.
Yeah, I think some people do.
Okay. you're such a tzaddik.
I think some people
do. Yeah, male for Eden. Okay. Get realistic. Motzei Yom Kippur, everybody's back to normal. Okay, be realistic, okay? Motzei Yom Kippur is about how bad the speech was, how bad the chazan was, how bad this was, how long this, and there's it happened, the second Yom Kippur is over, everybody's back to normal. That doesn't mean, by the way, for a second, that on Yom Kippur they didn't mean it. On Yom Kippur they meant it. So that shuv is real. And you could mean it every day and sin every day, but if you mean it, that's the beauty of tshuva. And therefore, there's a halacha that any time there's a doubt, you don't make a bracha. Safik brachas lahakol. You can't make a bracha on a doubt because you might be saying Hashem's name in vain, right? Here, 3 times a day, we say Baruch Atah Hashem with Hashem's name. Chanun, the merciful one. Hamarba l'slach, who's abundant in forgiveness. And this is the beauty of tshuva. To think about it. We can sin a million, like it says in Sfan, why do we say slach lanu 3 times a day? 3 times a day? First of all, it's not a question. I mean, question we should be saying it 300 times a day. But the answer is because of bittul teira, the certain aveiros, the Gemara says it's very difficult not to. 3 times a day we say, God, you know, I sin, forgive me. Okay. Sin, next, tefillah. Sin, forgive me. Next, sin, forgive me. That's what Hashem's kindness is.
One of the...
But that's only, by the way, if the person means it. If a guy says, hey, I sinned, I sinned. I mean, it's not going to happen. To mean it.
To mean it.
Yeah, good morning. No, but we said it depends, it is especially, it depends how you sing it. Depends how you sing it. Meaning, a guy could say, I sinned. Yeah, Hashem, I sinned. Yeah? You could sing it 3 ways. I sinned, and I'm planning to keep doing it. Mm. Another guy says, I sinned. He said it. Mm. He said, he's confessed, I sinned. But he didn't say, I sinned. He said, I sinned? You know, it depends how you sing it. And the guy could say, I sinned and I regret it. You know, he could say the same thing in three ways. You can say, Shamnu, yes, and I'm planning to do it again. But God, no, I'm planning to do it again. Al-Khet, I'm going to do it again.
That's sort of the physical, per se, the body.
Only if you mean it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's the other part. That's
the regret.
The regret. A lot of people don't necessarily mean they regret having done
that. Then they don't really do tshuva.
That's what I'm saying. That's the hard
There's no... I mean, in reality, you either do tshuva or you don't do tshuva. There's no such thing as, I regret it 50%. I mean, like what?
No, there's a difference between I regret doing it or I regret getting caught. Okay.
As the world says, the sin is not stealing. The sin is getting caught. Yeah. But that's only by people. Okay. But that's why it's an extremely important concept of this, you know, v'hizvados chatosim asher osu. They have to confess the sins. V'heishivis hashami v'reishe. And you should make restitution for the guilt in the principal amount. V'chamishi sayyesev olav. And you have to add a fifth, which again, like we learned already before, means a quarter. V'oshma nef, v'nosan l'asher osham loy. You should give to the one that you sinned against. Okay, which means, if I owe you money, let's say I owe you $100, right? And I deny it. I say, I don't owe you the $100. And I swear that I don't owe you the $100. And then it became proven that it was false. So I have to pay, besides confession and all that, I need to pay the $100 plus the additional 25%. So I have to pay 125 to whom? To the guy that I denied it. And it's not called interest, by the way. It's a fine that the Torah gives you. Okay, you have to pay the additional fine. But this is only if you actually swore falsely. And here it says, like Rashi says, it teaches that you're not chayiv chaymish, and this korban, until you admit. That means, it's interesting, if you swear falsely, and the witnesses prove you liar, you don't pay the extra amount. It's only if you come on your own, and realize I did an aveda and I want to do tshuva. Then you have to pay it. That's what the pasuk is saying here. The Rashi says. Okay, he has to pay the, but for the tshuva, the person needs to do tshuva, and otherwise, he cannot do it in any way whatsoever. And even if you, for instance, if you steal and you give back the money, without confession, you also didn't do proper tshuva. It's not enough just to steal and give back the money, you also need vidui. Because you didn't aveda. That vidui needs, that sin needs confession. Why?
If you don't say swear.
I want to make sure I understood this right. You only have to pay the extra 25 if you actually confess?
If you swore falsely,
and then
on your own you came and realized, I lied. If somebody else proved it, no.
So, right.
Rashi says, if it was al pi edim. Correct.
Unless on top of that you then admit to it, right?
Correct.
So where is the incentive to actually admit to anything? Wouldn't that be more?
That's the real tshuva. No, this is the real tshuva. You're doing it on your own.
So you don't get credit for tshuva unless you go ahead and
correct.
Give full disclosure.
Correct.
And basically, that way it makes you humble and therefore you get closer to Hashem.
Yeah.
It's
easier not to sin.
Yeah,
normally there's a rule in Torah that says Meida B'Knas is Potter. That means, if I steal something, right, so I have to pay double, if you're a ganef, okay? What happens, that din is just the opposite of this din. If witnesses catch me stealing, then I have to pay double. But if before witnesses come, I come to Bez and say, I stole, you don't have to pay double. There's a rule, moide b'knas. Anytime there's a knas means a specific, no, it's not a monetary thing. In halacha, knas means a monetary set amount that you have to pay. Like if you gore an eved, if an axe causes a slave, the Torah, you have to pay 30 shekel, no matter how much the guy was worth. Okay? So over there, if a guy admits the guilt before, or by ganef, the Torah says you have to pay a set amount, double. It's not a monetary thing, it's double what you stole. Okay? It's a set amount. If a guy confesses before he's caught, he doesn't have to pay it. Here's just the opposite. Here Rashi says, Eina limit sheina chayv chaymish ashim al pi edim, until he admits it.
So you're talking about only if somebody actually steals, like if I go to somebody's house and take something, as opposed to me stealing from somebody by swindling them, you know, in a deal or something.
Right, or if you don't pay back a loan, or if you hold back wages, that's not stealing, you pay double.
So, but it's only like if you're stealing a tangible thing?
Yeah, at night, quietly, discreetly.
So only
if you do it in broad daylight, then you're a gazelle and you don't pay double.
Yeah. Who's like a gone if it's a living?
No. If I go to the house in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping.
You go in the day and take from somebody, it's okay?
No, then you don't pay double. That's a gazelin.
That's a what?
A gazelin. Ganef is a discreet ganef, a discreet thief, and a gazelin is a brazen thief.
Robert.
The difference is very simple. A gazelin should be worse than a ganef.
Yeah.
But the Gemara says no. A gazelin is not afraid of anybody. He does it broad daylight. Okay? So he has a personality, he doesn't care about anybody. Not God and not people. He doesn't care. Torah says, okay, you're bad, give back what you stole. A ganef does it in the middle of the night, quietly. Meaning, he's not afraid of God, but he's afraid of people. That's worse. A gazlan's a personality, he's not afraid of nobody. You know? But a ganef, he's afraid of people, because he does it discreetly, but he's not afraid of God. God says, yeah, then pay double.